B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Monday, May 20th, 2019, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on CBS Sports Radio 1300 in Baltimore, as well as the Ticket 1230 in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll get caught up on what we did over the weekend, plus the mid-season invitational wrapped up, so we'll get caught up on the various esports leagues. Those conversations are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today talking about potentially the biggest story of the decade in gaming. And no, it has nothing to do with loot boxes or government intervention. Late last week, Microsoft and Sony shocked the world when they signed a memorandum of understanding related to cloud gaming. Joining me to help break down this massively important discussion is the Checkpoint XP crew, Robbie Landis.
Moving the payload.
Norris Howard.
I don't believe in magic.
And Joe Sloan.
Check a look. And yeah, if you're like me, you saw that Sony and Microsoft signed a memorandum of understanding and went, what is that? Because legally, I had no clue. So for those who don't know, a memorandum of understanding...
Is it a little bit like a treaty? Is it sort of like a limited terms treaty?
Kind of.
Okay, all right. That's not a bad analogy.
Not a horrible analogy.
Okay.
It's basically when two companies are signed, they have an agreement that is almost in place. They're still fleshing out some details, but it's basically them both affirming their intent to move forward on whatever this deal is.
And this is
not legally binding. They could still back out, but you generally don't sign one of these if you're planning on backing out.
Well, it's especially used when you have, you know, two really, really big, huge corporations with a lot of big moving parts
and a lot of visibility.
Exactly. Yeah. Or you do it exactly for the visibility.
That's right.
Right on. And so, in this case, it's related to cloud gaming. It's basically the two companies are going to be teaming up using Microsoft's new Azure platform, kind of for the next generation of cloud gaming. They're going to be working more in tandem with one another as opposed to opposed to one another, like we've seen for the past 20 years.
What end?
Well, first of all, this is a very interesting move coming at this juncture in where we are in the evolution of gaming. Because we see a new player about to enter the arena.
Le Google.
That's right. Google Stadia is about to hit the market. It is poised to hit the market. And that could be some really potentially game-changing features that Google would... You know, if these other companies can't come to the table to answer that, would have a corner on.
Well, so this is what is important to me about that is with Google entering the scene, most people who understand Google look at that and go, well, that's a big deal. However, there are detractors out there who said, Google can't make a difference in the gaming space. This says to me that both Microsoft and Sony see that as a major problem.
Yes, they can make a difference. here's the biggest thing is that potentially what this is moving towards when it comes to cloud gaming is also cloud development. In the statement, they go out of their way to mention about giving tools to developers when it comes to
developers and content creators
developers and content creators. When it comes to Google Stadia, one of the most revolutionary things that it brought forth is the concept of cloud development, not being tethered to the hardware of one or a series of machines when you're developing a game. There was nothing Sony or Microsoft would have had individually to be able to compete with something like that.
All right, the quick question I have for you guys right now, because obviously, yes, this does look like it's a direct response to Google Stadia, but putting together a deal like this, because, you know, Google Stadia just announced back in March, takes a while, which is why I think we just have a memorandum right now. But there's also a Bloomberg report that suggests that this deal between Microsoft and Sony has actually been in the works for a while, going back as far as last year.
And if you remember, though, we started seeing rumors of Google putting out a hardware console last spring, was it? Mm-hmm. Something like that. So it's been a while that there's been speculation that Google would be entering the gaming scene. And at that point, maybe those discussions began. The other possibility is that Sony just simply looked at what they had in the tank for cloud gaming and said, you know what? I don't know that our platform is going to make this work. So maybe that's why they're going for it. I don't know.
Listen, you could be right. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on WXSM Tri-Cities, Tennessee, as well as ESPN Phoenix 620. We're currently talking about the potential team up. Well, it's still potential at this point.
It's not officially. Yes. Nothing
legally binding, but the team up between Microsoft and Sony on cloud gaming. And I think that there's a couple of important factors at play here. And that is the actuality of having to produce cloud gaming that functions, right? We know that Sony has a bit of that with, Google Now?
PlayStation Now.
Built on Gaikai.
Right, exactly. But it doesn't really have the backbone to support it, right?
Would you say that PlayStation's cloud gaming is lacking?
I wouldn't say that it's lacking because it functions, but it doesn't tout any of the services or really how comprehensive something like Google Stadia is.
Exactly.
And those that are in the industry kind of catch wind of what's in development long before any of us in the public have any idea. So if you have an understanding that this is coming down the track, I think that, listen, Microsoft is maybe the only company outside of Google that has the infrastructure to be able to pull off cloud gaming in the same way or with some of the same features that Google is. Well, and then Sony has the install base that Microsoft could only dream of. And really, I mean, Microsoft does have it on the PC side, but, you know, if you're talking about console competing with something like Stadia, that's the kind of navigating and negotiating that you're going to have to do.
And on top of that, we've seen the moves from Microsoft, not necessarily signaling, you know, anything that's a exit from console gaming immediately, but they're diversifying their gaming platform. They're diversifying what it is that they have to offer in terms of gaming, not only through this deal, through Xbox Live going over to the Nintendo Switch as well. So I do think that this is a sign that Microsoft is trying to be forward thinking and say, you know what, Stadia is going to shake up the space.
Well,
period.
And I think that any developer that now understands that you're not limited to your individual users' hard drive space to be able to make large content expansions, I think that changes, you know, the conversation. A game like Star Citizen, which seems impossible, even if they are able to develop a universe that large,
right,
how do you house it on your hard drive? Suddenly that question is now answerable in a very practical way.
Red Dead Redemption 2 was over 100 gigabytes.
Exactly.
And while that is still doable, we are quickly coming up on the edge of what is feasible.
The limits of physical hardware.
Not even that, but we've talked about data caps on ISPs becoming an increasingly common trend now that net neutrality has fallen. So I think that you end up seeing a very real problem where, listen, if digital distribution is the only way that you can get a game anymore because brick and mortar stores don't exist, and even if they do, you're just getting a download code for the software anyway, then you're responsible for downloading 116, 120, 150 gigs to your machine.
Yeah, so
and if that's the case, you're running up against your ISP's data cap.
So I think the big question moving forward here is how quickly does Microsoft and Sony have to move? That's the question, because we know Stadia at this point, they haven't given a solid release date, but we know that they've had the proof of concept has been there from their test with cloud gaming and streaming from, what was it, last fall. So we know that the infrastructure is there. We know that the OS is there. They proved it, you know, they showed it off on stage. How quickly does Sony and Microsoft have to move to at least put the idea of a service out there?
I think when we hear about PlayStation 5 is basically when we need to start hearing about what this partnership might look like on PlayStation 5, right?
We also have to, like, I don't think that they announce anything until we move beyond the memorandum and a real official deal is signed.
Well, that's more so what I mean, is how quickly do they need to move to get an official deal worked out and signed? Because if Stadia comes out and there's nothing in place officially, that Sony and Microsoft have figured out, Google has had such a massive head start on the next gen.
I'd say 6 months max, if that.
I think that the year cannot end without a deal.
I agree with that. Yeah. I agree with that. Now, some people are speculating that this might mark Xbox exit from the hardware game. Now, we know that Sony has no intention on dropping their next piece of hardware. No. They're too far in development on the PlayStation 5. Development kits are already in the hands of developers. Mm-hmm. So, do you think that this means that Microsoft leaves the console, the hardware game?
I don't think the potential is there. This may be the beginning of the end, but I do think we'll see at least one more generation of Xbox.
Yeah, I think what Norris said earlier is actually the right on. He talked about diversifying. When the Xbox One came out, they were all in on the traditional console model at the time, but now we're seeing things like Azure. Now we're seeing Game Pass. We're seeing rumblings of a partnership with Nintendo. They are diversifying ways of getting their games out there, and it does look like they're moving away from requiring a console. Whether or not they stop making them, I think they'll continue to make consoles. It'll just won't be, all their eggs aren't going to be in the console basket anymore.
Norris, what about you?
I honestly think that this is pretty much also the beginning of the end. I don't see the purpose that Microsoft coming out with a console serves if this service is something that they're doing.
I totally agree. I think that this is the last generation of Microsoft hardware. It's going to stop with a version of the Xbox One.
You think we'll get a new one announced at E3 and that'll be it?
Yeah, I think that there are too many motherboards and processors that that are already out there in existence that they're going to have to offload. And after that, I think that it's that they're probably going to go the software route. Well, what do you think? What do you think is in Microsoft's future? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, there was a ton of esports action over the past few days, but none bigger than the Midseason Invitational. Our esports league update will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, we'll play catch up from the weekend and see what everyone was up to. Our weekend update is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. My name's Dave Bender. So glad to have you along. Wanted to get everyone listening on the sports beat of East Texas, 104.3 in Carthage, 103.9 in Marshall, and 100.7 in Henderson, as well as 1250 and 94.5 ESPN San Antonio. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the BPod Network at bpodstudios.com. For more great listening options like Inside the Ropes, a weekly look inside wrestling in the WWE, and Talking Rock with Meltdown, an interview and music news podcast, then go to bpodstudios.com, the place to be for podcast discovery. I know we've got a lot to talk about with the major esports leagues today, but before we get to that, I gotta know, how was everyone's weekend?
It was great. I had a great time, man. I got a chance to go out to Motor City Comic Con.
Oh, nice.
How was it?
I think everyone's weekend except for Joe's is gonna be really exciting for some reason. I think he's gonna be like, I mowed the lawn. Some homeowner thing.
Right. Oh, man. The Comic Con was great. It was lit. My girlfriend, her nephew, was in town. It was his birthday weekend, so we took him to Comic-Con as well. It was his first con ever. So he was completely like out of
just,
his mind.
Just like lost in everything.
He was lost in everything. It was really cool.
Did you see any particularly good cosplay when you were out there?
Yeah, we did. Mostly from like really obscure comics that I don't read, but I saw some pretty good Game of Thrones cosplay. Actually,
seems like
the 501st Legion was out there. The Star Wars cosplay,
The 501st tends to show up for
which,
MCCC.
Of course, you know, is the top tier. I mean, it doesn't get too much better than them. So the cosplay out there was really cool. Yeah, it was cool. The I forget his name, but the guy who plays the voice of Dutch in Red Dead Redemption was out there, and I just screamed out, "Damn O'Driscoll!" And he just looked up and he was just like, he just like gave me like, he pointed at me and gave me the thumbs,
the hard
up, and
thumbs
I just,
up.
Yeah, I just kept it moving, man, because his awesome. Line was pretty long. But outside of that, my weekend was pretty chill, you know, had people over for the GOT finale. But other than that, man, yeah, it was absolutely awesome.
Nice, nice. Robbie, what were you doing this weekend?
Well, I spent most of my time putting some more hours into Monster Hunter. I'm actually now caught up to my original file.
Oh,
40
weeks?
Hours earlier than my other file was, too. So I made some time on it. I've also started watching the Chernobyl series.
Oh, yeah, the HBO series.
Is terrifying.
Okay.
It is.
Don't say anything, because I literally got to start it.
What I will say, though, is I've realized I have a new, like, sort of niche, like, when it comes to certain types of movies and shows, stuff that was based on real life stuff, right? And usually when I'm watching it, like The Big Short, there's just like one moment in the middle or at the end where I'm like, man, this actually happened. With Chernobyl, I'm constantly like, oh my God, this actually happened.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then I also saw John Wick 3.
Oh, nice.
No spoilers. Oh, please, no spoilers.
The only thing I'm going to say is hands down the best knife fight ever created.
That's too much.
Ever created.
No, I'm into that.
Too much spoiler.
I'm ready for
that's
that.
That's a selling point. Good. It's not a spoiler.
So good, you didn't have to sell me on John Wick 3.
So
I'm
good.
Going.
I know. I'm still trying to sell this guy, though.
You never seen John
seen
Wick?
One and two.
I've never seen any
you
of them.
You are bugging.
I've never seen any of them.
You're talking about some of the best action sequences committed to film ever.
Dang. Sure, I guess.
And this is from an actor who was in The Matrix. Alright?
He was.
You bugging, okay? John Wick is dope. Alright? It's fun for the whole family.
There was like an infant in our showing, by the way.
That's what? It's fun for the whole family.
Not even joking.
I don't know about that.
Not even joking.
Okay,
that's
not
a little,
infant.
That's
but
a little
everybody
much.
Likes John Wick.
That's
my dad likes
much.
John Wick. My mom likes John Wick. I got cousins that love John
I
Wick.
I just have no interest, that's all. I mean,
What are you talking about? No interest? Do you like violence?
I see way too many violent movies as it is. I feel like I have enough of that in my life.
Nah, Keanu Reeves has a special brand of ass kicking.
He really does.
That is, top tier.
Yeah, it takes stylized violence like to a whole new level.
I get it. I believe you. It's just, I mean, I don't know. I'd probably watch it on a plane.
I knew that was coming.
I knew it was
coming.
John Wick is no. John Wick
I'd watch
is
it.
Totally
I would watch it on.
It.
I would watch it on a plane. I it's just not something that I would sit around and watch.
No, you like, do
I would
not totally relegate John Wick to plane movies.
I would go see that
do you
in
understand,
theaters. But
do you understand the criteria for what I watch these days is like
Muppets?
Can I take a nap during it? I feel like I can't take a nap during John Wick.
No, you can't.
I would agree. You probably cannot take a nap during John Wick.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone hanging out in our Twitch chat over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. You can join us Monday through Friday live at 5 p.m. Eastern right here at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. So my weekend, I actually got to go see Patton Oswalt.
How
was it?
He was fucking awesome.
Yeah,
he was awesome.
Bet.
He was really good.
It.
He was really, really good.
Did you go dolo or was this a whole nother date situation?
I went with Carly, the beautiful young lady who has decided to spend some time with me. I'm not sure why.
It's happening.
I'm not
is
sure
something
why.
Wrong with her?
I keep wondering and asking that myself. I'm
waiting
like,
for the other shoe to drop, right?
I'm like,
do not believe.
It's got to be some act of pity or something. I don't know.
Like, yeah. By the way, completely unrelated, I can't pay like for her to keep taking him out next week. So you guys are gonna have to help me up out of it.
I got you.
Don't mind.
I got you.
Cool, cool, cool.
I got you.
Because
I saw
that.
That's
kind of a mean implication.
That is a very mean implication.
She listens to this show. I hope you know. You're gonna have to answer for that one.
No,
day.
Someday.
Anyway, so yeah, that was fun. And then I also watched the entire series of Tuca and Birdie on Netflix.
I don't know what Tuca and Birdie.
Tuca and Birdie.
Heard of this.
So this is by the same studio that does BoJack Horseman. It looks a lot like BoJack Horseman, but it features Tiffany Haddish and Ali Wong as the two characters.
Okay, that,
Tuca and
I'm
Birdie. Exactly. All I needed to know was that it's Tiffany Haddish and Ali Wong, and I was already like, okay, this is pretty good. But and I actually tweeted about this over the weekend that it actually shared. There's a lot more in common with BoJack Horseman than just kind of like the visual style, because it is
same like animators or whatnot.
Yeah, I can't remember her first name. Hannah Walt is her last name, but that's the artist that is the chief showrunner of I think both shows. It not just looks like BoJack, but it's this real, it's hilarious, first of all, but it's also got this really kind of important emotional center to it that I really appreciated. So I ended up binging that entire series over the weekend.
How many seasons on it so far?
Just one.
Just
came out, only 10 episodes on the season, but it's worth your time. It's worth watching.
So you'll watch an obscure animated
I was just about to ask, did you nap during
with
it?
With Tiffany Haddish.
I did. I slept through two episodes.
I want you guys to know that he apparently judges movies and shows by the exact same standards my grandpa does.
Yeah.
And I nap during
it. Can I take a nap during it?
That's not unfair.
Settle down, old man.
I mean, okay.
So, Joe, would you get up
this
weekend?
Yeah, come on. What adult-ass thing did you do?
We had a house guest over the weekend.
Oh, Lord.
Which I'm not going to say too much about, except that my viewing of Game of Thrones was accompanied by...
Ew.
Dude, he was eating during like the first 20 minutes of Game of Thrones, and I've never heard someone smack their lips so loud in my life when they're eating.
Oh, no.
I was like, is it, like, it's one of Sarah's friends, so I can't, like... be too much of a dick, but
no, it's
yes,
your house.
You can.
It's your
you
house.
Can.
Shut your mouth, Sarah's friend.
Are you kind of at that moment like, this is my house, technically.
Are you? Yeah, you're paying the bills there,
right.
So I think
you
get
talking?
To.
Yeah, it that was a difficult way to get into this week's episode of Game of Thrones.
No, you know what you should do? You should have hit the pause button and walked right up to him and went. Chill out, man. We trying to watch some.
Right. Like, it's like, I get it if you're a loud eater, but like.
Like, I think the only thing worse is like if somebody is like loudly enjoying a meal too. Like, they're just
like.
Oh, God. Yeah.
This is the worst. This is the worst.
No. No, no. Now, anyway, that was gross.
Yeah, exactly. I did finish up Final Fantasy X, and I also downloaded Dragon's Dogma.
Yes! So,
nice!
I promised you that would be my next title that I play through. And,
how much is Dark Arisen? It's like, what, 30 bucks now, isn't it?
$30, yeah.
Yeah, 30 bucks.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. So I did download that. I haven't started it yet, but it will be my next title.
Phenomenal. I'm excited for you to play it.
Final Fantasy X International, for those of you who played the HD version, killing the Dark Aeons and fighting Penance is really not worth it. Boy, is that not worth it.
Since when has a mega boss ever really been
worth
it?
It's
just for the achievement of it.
It's very like, much like doing Omega Weapon in 8, where you're like, well, that was a lot of work for no payoff. Okay, great. Excellent.
Yeah, that's the way I
forgot that old RPGs are just that way.
I was about to say,
bosses.
I bothered with one mega boss. I think it was, Ozma? Was Ozma 9?
Well, at least you got the Dark Matter when you fight the Pumice piece when you fight Ozma. Yeah, at least there's that. But man, no, you fight these bosses and they give you like, one of them will give you like these sweet rings that have like ribbon and like great abilities on it. And then you're like, I'm about to go one-shot all the final bosses.
There's no point for me.
What could possibly stand up to me at this point?
Who cares?
I literally one-shot every boss after that.
Yeah.
So anyway, Final Fantasy X is not a game that holds up well. That story is hot garbage 10 years later. Man, or... oh my god, like 20 years later.
Yeah,
we're
I was about
so
to say
old.
10. You bugging.
Oh my god.
Old,
we are.
That came out in the Bush administration, Playboy.
Oh,
Oh my God, we're old.
I know, right?
Man.
So what? Tidus being a dream is not an acceptable ending for you anymore?
I wish they'd have just killed him.
It would have made 2 a little bit more awkward.
Yeah.
Don't even get me started on 10-2. I literally was like, I guess I'll fire up 10-2 to play it. And then I went, you know what?
No,
Norris and Nate said that Dragon's Dogma is a good game. I'm going to play it.
Good.
Well, I should be frank. You didn't say it was a good game. You said I should play it.
I
would assume because it's a good game.
It's a game.
It's a game.
See, that's why I don't want to go into it with the expectation
it is,
that it's great.
It's flawed. Dragon's Dogma is flawed.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that it's like War and Peace level storytelling
no,
or anything.
Not at all. It has its flaws, but it is one of the most charming damn games.
After FF10, it's
the experience of playing it that I remember more fondly than even one plot point in that story.
I don't remember one plot point.
No, I don't.
Story,
I don't.
I
but
don't
I'll never.
Care.
I'll never forget that damn Griffin.
The Griffin.
Though.
Yes. Mm. It was great.
Never.
It was a great.
I'm looking
game.
Forward to this.
All right, well, listen, we want to hear from you. What did you get up to this weekend? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll get caught up on the latest in the major esports leagues. And yes, we're going to talk about the midseason invitational. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
And welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Fanatic in Philadelphia, as well as everyone listening on ESPN Pittsburgh. Check out our website over at CheckpointXP.com. And while you're at it, make sure you sign up for the Checkpoint XP Nation newsletter. Get behind-the-scenes insight, photos, and access to contests and unique content. All it takes is an email address and a zip code. So sign up today at CheckpointXP.com. It was an exciting and history-making weekend in League of Legends. We'll get the latest from the midseason invitational, but first, a quick recap of Overwatch League and the NPL, starting with OWL, as it was the All-Star Week.
That's right, with a little bit of a week off since the end of Stage 2, and the All-Star Week featured the incredible talent takedown, which, in my opinion, really stole the thunder from anything else.
It's the highlight of the All-Star Week.
We saw this at the end of the season, at the end of all 4 stages last year, and kind of wondered why they didn't do it in the middle of the season.
It felt like an afterthought.
But this, like, having it right now really does feel like it's a showcase rather than like, oh, we need to kind of fill some time in between now and the grand finals.
Well, and I also like it because it gives the players as well a break. I don't care what anybody says, having a week off is great.
It matters.
But with that said, guys, nobody knew Bryn, who's an analyst for the Overwatch League. Nobody knew Bryn was this good at Widowmaker.
He told us, but nobody believed
him. Nobody believed in him. We didn't believe in him. And Widowmaker came out of nowhere and completely melted the Pacific team. It was not close.
We did also get a return of Puckett's Doomfist.
We did get the Puckfist.
What up, though?
But there was definitely a moment with Bren going off on Widowmaker where you're kind of just like, would someone get this man a contract? What the heck? Like, he's really good.
I don't know, because they put him up the next day during halftime in a 1v1 versus Jester, who's a main tank, and he got demolished.
Yeah.
So there's still that gap between.
I was kind of secretly hoping that they had like a ringer playing for him and that they would find out somewhere backstage, like they had one of the pros so playing for him.
That'd have been great.
I would have died. I would have died. It would have been amazing.
Yeah, but I mean, overall, the Atlantic did take the talent takedown, but for the most part, the Pacific actually mopped up just about every other event that they had for the All-Star.
How exciting was it to have Golden Boy back?
It was great, man.
Golden Boy and the mic was so great.
It was great, and he's so, you know, flawless and effortless when it comes to play-by-play. He's so amazing, but I was actually just as impressed by Dogman of the Atlanta Reign, who was a guest color commentator with Golden Boy for one of the matches, and I really enjoyed Dogman, man. He got some talent.
That's awesome. All right, now shifting gears over to the NPL. Tempo Storm now sitting comfortably in the first place spot once again. They pulled down a chicken dinner and about 66 total points in the last week.
Wow.
But the Rumblers
Mustache Dave.
They are keeping that gap very, very close as they walked away with their own chicken dinner and their own 60 points. By the way, only 2 points separate first and second.
I'm so glad that like this time around they're a lot closer instead of having like that 50 point lead that you get at some stages.
Yeah, well, you start having to do mental gymnastics to justify even watching.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Tempo Storm is definitely not running away with it in this stage, at least not yet.
I guess the Rumblers are keeping up with the tempo.
Boo.
But listen, it's not all about wins, because Player One Esports didn't take any of the rounds, but they kept their kill counts high and managed to put 59 points on the board, keeping them in third place. And Cloud9 had two rough matches where they got bounced with only one kill.
Nice.
And another round where they were the sixth team eliminated with zero kills. Cloud9 is currently sitting in fifth place. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening in our Twitch chat over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Join us Monday through Friday live at 5 p.m. over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. We have to talk about the midseason invitational because, boy, this was League of Legends worth watching.
Yeah, so obviously after last week eliminating Flash Wolves and Fongvu Buffalo, the four remaining teams going into it were Invictus, SK Telecom, T1, G2 Esports, and Team Liquid. First and foremost, Liquid versus Invictus Gaming, North America versus China, the world champions versus the world chumps. Wow. What a unbelievable matchup! From the first game, Team Liquid jumps out, takes the first game. Everyone's kind of in stunned disbelief, thinking like maybe they just caught Invictus Gaming napping.
Well, you had slept through that game.
I slept through the first one, and I woke up at about, it was like 8 a.m. that morning, and I was like, oh, do I want to get up and watch? And I checked Twitter, and I saw that Team Liquid takes the first game. Like, yeah, I guess I'm watching. Team Liquid takes the second game. Everyone's losing their mind. Team Liquid's up 2-0, and I'm sitting here as a longtime Lions fan just like, this is how they're going to hurt me. They're going to get reverse swept. Just want to believe it. They lose game three, and I'm like, here it is.
The
round hath begun. They let Rookie get onto a carry champ, and then we got the end of game four.
Hicksmith is going to be put to sleep, but Jackie's going to be put on the ground. Double kills legendary. Ladies and gentlemen, Team Liquid will do it. Haters, be silenced. Expectations, be damned. One of the biggest moments in League of Legends history as Team Liquid take down the reigning world champs.
So, second maybe only to G2 defeating RNG at Worlds last year, this may be one of the most shocking upsets in the history of League. Certainly in North American League.
Oh, it's the biggest in NA, without a doubt.
Well, and it definitely got the hype train rolling because I saw a lot of people on Twitter start to really wake up to MSI and really get behind Liquid.
North America in the finals of an international competition?
Unheard of.
That doesn't happen. So, yeah, that was unbelievable. So, we get into the next day. We've got SK Telecom T1 versus G2. To Esports. This was an unbelievable series. Went the maximum five games. We've got SK Telecom gets out to a 2-1 lead. Game four is happening, and man, G2 Esports gets out to a great lead in that match, and then they look like they were going to just throw it all away before they finally put the win away. And then kind of the same thing in the fifth game where G2 gets out to a lead. They looks like they're going to throw, but at the end,
champions can fall, gods can bleed. Where were you when the West rose up to conquer champions? G2 Esports eliminates SK Telecom. North America face Europe in the MSI Finals.
And I mean, he said it better than really anyone else could. North America versus Europe in the finals of an international competition that isn't called Riff Rivals.
Yeah, it's absolutely mind-blowing and ridiculous. Nobody would have predicted it, but...
Of the worldwide, of the number of analysts who tried to predict the finals when MSI began, I'm going to guess 0% said North America versus Europe. We're going to be the final two teams. You and I both got made fun of for picking one of them.
We did.
So, for the fact that they both made it to the finals, and obviously I was pulling hard for Team Liquid to go all the way. Unfortunately, they did not show up very well in this, this was the result.
This is what peak League of Legends looks like, and it comes from Europe. A world record. G2 Esports 3-0 will win MSI 2019.
Oh, dude, a dead sweep.
Listen, I'm going to get on my soapbox for about 10 seconds here. But guys, I told you all, G2 Esports was a world beater caliber team. I said it at the beginning of MSI. I picked them to take it, and I saw what they did over at LEC and just how much better they were than everybody.
That was 20 seconds. I just want you to know.
Shut up.
And the exciting part is now, as we turn our attention towards Worlds and the summer split, if you're out there and you're a North America and Europe fan, you are allowed to root for your region. They will be contenders this year.
All right. Well, listen, we got to leave the discussion right there, but we want to hear from you. What were you watching? Were you watching the Talent Takedown, the NPL, or were you, probably watching MSI?
You were watching MSI.
Yeah. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a wide collection of podcasts and interviews. Checkpoint XP Daily will be back tomorrow with the latest in esports and gaming news. Join us Monday through Friday live at 5 p.m. Eastern, live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird at Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis. And, of course, my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP Daily. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Abe Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.